League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Podcast with Colin Jettis.
Yeah, get her back.
Hide your wrists. I put that on just for you.
I noticed. I put this on just for you.
Just yeah. Are we rolling? Let's go for it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Jenner Banter Podcast. This might well become one of our six-part specialist podcast that we might put out in the next while.
Six parts?
Well, there'd be six different guests.
All right.
You're
all right.
Number one.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nico Leonard. Now, if you're not familiar, how would you describe yourself to other people, just for the listeners?
It's funny enough, in the car we had this conversation, how would I describe myself? And 99% of people would say, this fucking mad Dutch guy.
Yeah.
In Belfast.
Yeah.
That is on YouTube.
Because if it was a year ago, I would have said...
The watch guy?
Watch expert and, you know, watch shop owner.
Yeah.
But then it's gone pretty fucking
nuts. I lost that reputation, like.
You've lost that reputation.
I swear.
So you were just running that shop and then got some YouTube boys on board and now you're an internet superstar?
I wouldn't call myself a superstar, mate. But things just escalated.
They've gone pretty crazy. Well, we'll not get ahead of ourselves. The first thing anyone asks, you know, a quote-unquote foreigner is, why the fuck do you end up in Northern Ireland? Because if most people here had the opportunity to go anywhere else, they would do so.
Mate, genuinely, and I get this question every single time I say, or people, oh, you're Dutch? Why the fuck did you move?
Yeah.
I mean, Northern Ireland, genuinely, is one of the most beautiful countries in the world. I love this place. I will literally die here.
Yeah.
Done. Unless the government kicks me out because I'm a European citizen.
Yeah.
I forgot to put that settlement status in, right? So I was watching TV and then you need to put this EU settlement, blah, 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 for people that are not from here.
Yeah.
Like me. But I was like, I still don't know if I'm allowed to stay, funny enough.
How weird.
That's so weird. But no, why did I move? It's like, I always wanted to travel. I always wanted to see the world. And my first stop was Belfast. And I never fucking left. I never left.
Yeah. Did you try anywhere after that?
No. Like,
I was going to go Belfast and then like Thailand, Vietnam. Yeah, you know, Southeast Asia.
Now, the funny bit is I threw everything I owned in an old green Volvo V40.
Nice.
Right? Absolute fucking machine. 280,000 kilometers on the thing. Like, I mean, you wouldn't give it a penny, but it was a rocket. Like,
yeah.
So threw everything I owned in there. PlayStation 2 games. And
I can eat this when I'm starving.
A blanket and a cuddly toy or something. Yeah. And I just drove and that's it. And I arrived in Belfast and I'll never forget the drive because I've never been on a ferry with a car. Like I'm from the Netherlands. Like we have canals this big.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you just jump over it, if you know what I mean.
Oh, like, yeah,
or totally. You just jump in and swim and go to the other side. Or you can also just walk around it. But
that's it. Wait till winter, skate on it.
Whatever. I mean, that's it. But I saw this ferry from Scotland going to Belfast, and I'll never forget the drive off the ferry that you pass. How do you call that? That oval building, that big
oval
huge
tower,
the tower, that big ass tower here. And it's like, fuck, this is unbelievable.
Yeah, you just hit that bit of Belfast.
Yeah, like, it's like this is life.
Yeah,
genuinely. And I stayed, you know, Upper Arthur Street where that hotel is. You know, it's not Upper Arthur Street, but you know, it's like there's a hotel. I think Premier Inn.
Right. Okay.
Stayed there for a week, and I think I got close with a few women there. I was like, this place is heaven. Like,
nice.
This is heaven. So I decided to stay. Like,
You're that exotic guy now.
Now that you're over
in Belfast, you got that accent. Where are you from?
Amsterdam. Oh.
Yeah. Are you actually from Amsterdam?
Yeah. So, no, it's good. It's a nice city. But for me, and in all seriousness, Northern Ireland and the people, definitely the people in Northern Ireland or the island of Ireland, I don't give a shit, right? For me, there's no difference. And what everyone does is what they do. But I have received from the first day I arrived here so much love and so much help. And I had shitty jobs and I had whatever. And I made friends. And all of a sudden, it was such a different reality than the Netherlands in every way possible.
Yeah. And it's weird. I was joking about, like, my wife's sister's fiance is Dutch. And his cousin.
And then his cousin as well. I'm lost because you went so far. So, your wife, sister's cousin.
No, wife's sister's fiance, right?
Wife's sister's fiance.
So I don't know. Is that like a brother-in-law type? I have no idea. But he's Dutch and he came over and he was the same. He was like, I don't feel any pressure on me over here from like my parents. You know, we live out in the country. So he goes, I just love living out here with the space and everything. So he loves it too.
Listen, for me, and definitely like... Definitely now looking backwards, like I started a business here that didn't go without any challenges, may I add. But I would have failed in every other country with that same business, genuinely.
Really?
The unconditional support without asking something in return or expecting something in return is what I've received from the people here in Northern Ireland. It is bonkers.
Yeah.
It is unbelievable. If I ask help in the Netherlands, what's in it for me?
Yeah, yeah.
You see what I mean? And any other country it would be, except here. And I love this place. Yeah.
It is a real gap in the market, though. Like as you said, there's no real dedicated luxury watch shops, is there? I mean, I was in Port Stewart the other day, and I walked past a shop, like a jeweler's, and there was a couple of Rolex in the window, and I was just like, oh, you know, even then I was like, fuck, you don't see many like. Shops with a Rolex, you know, especially here, just at all, you don't see a jeweler's with like a Rolex in the window. So yeah, I suppose it is a bit of a gap in the market. Like,
I wouldn't have say that it would have been a gap in the market there because Rolex, there is a Rolex authorized dealer here.
Where's that?
In the city. You don't want to know them.
Okay.
They were the only people, by the way, that really fucked me over many times.
I'm sure.
Genuinely, like. From all the help I've always received, these guys, and of course we're talking about the snobs, absolute snobs in every way possible. Like genuinely, when I tried to open my shop, they have tried to avoid it in every way possible.
Okay.
In every way possible.
Selling like Omegas? Just selling everything?
offering money to stakeholders that owned the premises.
Okay.
To then make sure that I will not be in there. Like constantly boycotting, like it's bonkers. Like genuinely, from like
that's weird.
I'm so angry still. Still today.
That's crazy.
But we're a complete different business in any way, shape, or form.
Because I didn't even know there was a Rolex place.
No,
in Belfast.
Yeah, in Belfast.
I had no idea.
I can say the name. Like allegedly, it's Lund's Jewelers.
Okay.
I saved myself there. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Yeah, because otherwise they go again.
Truth bomb.
Honestly, mate. Honestly. You know that they kicked me out of the shop when I wanted to buy a pen as well? Bonkers. I'm not going
anyone
into
else
details.
Just pops into Aisens and he goes like, let me just pop it. Lund's here.
Yeah, you see what I mean?
What sort of pen do they sell in there? Mont Blanc?
Yeah. And I always wanted one, never could have justified it. A good friend of mine, Ryan Burnett, he, shout out, RB. Now this is just name dropping, mate. He wanted to buy a pen and I was like, this is a good time. I'll buy myself a pen and another 300-400 quid. I had for that pen and literally kicked me out.
You have to go in now with like on somebody's shoulders with like a long trench coat.
I swear to God.
With a fake beard on.
I need to go in.
Hello.
I need to go in with a wig. but no, I don't want to give them a penny. Penny, it's just sad.
That's mad.
Like the stuff that
I would understand if it was like it said fucking Rolex above the door and it was like the Rolex dealership, but like...
Like, we have stories from customers that came in and then wanted to check out their Rolex boutique, and literally allegedly their staff said, how that watch is fake. I swear, it's no joke.
That's like, hilarious.
And because it came from us.
That's mad.
Like, mate, it's mad, mate. It's mad.
How would they know? That's crazy.
They wouldn't, because it's just to try to destroy someone else's reputation, and they've done that before with a jewelers in Enniskillen. So, oh, it's not going to be a rant about them today, by the way.
That's cool. Sued.
Done. Allegedly, everything was alleged.
We'll bring it back to you. How do you, so like, were you in the watch business before you came over here, or was it just like an interest that you had, or?
No, I wasn't in the watch industry, neither was any of my family in the watch industry. Mm-hmm. I've always been obsessed with watches from a young age. And like, I never thought that it would be achievable or possible for me to either own a Rolex or handle a Rolex, or that was one of my dreams to ever do that. But yeah. I came into a country that was completely new for me. And at a certain point, you need to start to make a few quid. Like, I mean,
yeah.
You can't just fuck about the whole day. Like, yeah. I mean,
just hanging out the Premier Inn, just chatting the chicks.
Exactly. At that time, I was kind of trim. Like, I mean, yeah. I was on the market boy. Like, I Tindered it. Like, I fucking finished it, mate. Oh my god! But no, No, it for me it was my, I have two big passions, football and watches, and didn't make it as a footballer. So I was working in Dublin. Now we need to, I'm just jumping up from A to Z.
Welcome to the General Banter podcast.
Yes, there you go.
Nothing is linear.
No, nothing. It doesn't make any sense. But no, I had a job here. What do you call it? Call center here in Belfast again? Concentrics, that one.
Concentrics.
I got a job there for Dutch speakers, right? So I thought, dog's bollocks, like, I'll fucking nail that. Fired within 2 weeks. I swear, mate. It could have been three, but not more than a month, right? I swear. So I got fired there. And then that was my first work experience in Belfast. And I had another place, MRP as well, for Dutch people speaking Dutch, whatever. It's such a quality speaking Dutch.
Yeah.
Useless. Got fired there as well, but that took 6 months, I think, instead of, so I stretch it.
Getting better. Getting
because
better.
I was a bit mad. I was a bit of a mad whore.
Okay.
So I was running around like, anyway. Yeah, at a certain point you need to get serious in life. So I was able to get a lead generation call center job at Vodafone in Dublin.
Nice.
And I says, I'm not going to fuck this up. 3.5 years later, I had a few promotions under my belt, and I done well. And then at a certain point, I saved 10,000 euros. And then I literally, at a split morning, like, this was the most random decision I've ever made in my life. I drove in the office. So I lived in Banbridge, County Down, and I drove every day for 3.5 years to Carrick Mines. That's on Junction 15 on the M50. Every day. Right. Mm. So that's a heavy drive. Right. So at a certain point, I was like, I can't handle this anymore. And that morning where I was so tired, I was like, I'm going to quit my job right here, right now. And I'm going to do what I've always loved. I had saved 10,000 euros, literally walked into the office, wrote my resignation letter on a piece of paper, left the building, went to AIB Bank, which was around the corner of the office. Because I saw these posters with loan approved within 5 minutes or something. So, like, I swear. And I literally walked in, got a loan approved within 5 minutes. I swear, 20,000 euros, 30,000 euros on my bank account. I'm out. I'm going to sell watches.
Yeah. And what's the move from then? You buy some watches, or do you try and look for a premises, or what do you do?
No. Like, I mean, a shop wasn't even realistic. All I wanted to do is make £1,500 a month, because that would have set me, that would pay the rent. You could go out for dinner. And that time, my ex-fiance was studying, so that would have paid for us. You see what I mean? And she had a part-time job. So all I wanted was 1,500 quid a month. And but you know what? When you take a loan, you also kind of need to pay it back.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So and you do that in installment every month.
Yeah.
But I forgot that. So I was constantly buying watches on eBay or something and then selling it and making 50 quid, making 100 quid.
Yeah.
I swear.
Yeah.
Like it was 50 pounds, 100 pounds. And I was like, oh shit, I need to pay the rent and then I need to pay the monthly installment back.
Yeah.
But like at a certain point, I need to make a choice.
Yeah.
But a choice if I need to pay my rent or the installment. But where it really started for me was I bought some watches online. And
what sort of watches are you buying at that level?
I bought a Tudor Black Bay, a Tudor Blagos, a Breitling Nevi timer, which I still have because no one wanted that fucking thing. It's for sale, special price only for you that watch here. I give you a special discount. Right. But I still have that fucker, like.
That's so funny.
And what else was that? Oh yeah, a Rolex, a 36 millimeter Datejust, which I lost about 600 quid on. So all the profit I made was gone on that loss. And that
he didn't lose the watch. Right, okay. So that's mad. Like, and then how did the shop come about? Was that like the next step?
Nah, the step was. Like I opened an Instagram and I have such an awkward. I still have the first video I ever took. So I'm not really a person that likes to be in public or do on camera stuff. It scares the living life out of me, right?
Doesn't seem like that now.
No, but like I'm still a bit uncomfortable. Like, but you get used to it. Fake it till you make it, right? But I still have that first video. What I ever took, I'll show you that. I can show you.
Hello, like one of those 80s like infomercials.
I swear, watch this.
Bum, 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 bum.
Watch this. It's mad. Like my voice and how I look like I've been hit by a truck.
Really?
Like, I genuinely. So I opened an Instagram account and I was just looking at who is popular in Belfast, right? So who's doing business in Belfast? And this is where I come back to what I said before, the unconditional will to help someone without asking something in return.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Chris Suter. Chris Suter, I don't know if you know him, the guy who sells suits, right?
Yeah, I know who he is, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I've met him.
No? Like, he's a mad her, right? He's a mad bastard.
Mad bastard.
He annoys me every single day with a bollocks GGG, right? And I tell him that every day, right? Stop doing that GGG. It annoys me. I just don't want to see you every morning. You see what I mean? Get up, get out, get the fuck, right? Done.
Get out of my face.
Get out of my face. I love him to bits. But his will to help me and put my name out there was to change from selling one watch a month to sell them one watch a week.
Yeah, because it's a similar kind of, it's not a similar business, but it's, you know, it's luxury. It's, you know, it's that world where like you would have good clients probably. Ah. Yeah.
So, and all of a sudden, I was like people that he called me, yeah, someone is interested in the watch. He never asked for a penny, right? So
yeah.
I was actually trying to find that video. I'll try to find it later on. But it's embarrassing, right? It's like I'm wearing these weird glasses as well. Like, I mean, like proper weird. I look like an absolute weirdo. It's because, yeah, there's someone in the shop. Come to the shop and show your watches. And by that time, I had a Rolex. I had my first Rolex for sale or Speedmaster for sale. And then he started promoting me with his friends. And then we had a few people buying a watch. And then instead of making 50 quid, I made 500 quid.
Mm-hmm.
And that's literally how it went. And all of a sudden, I was just in Chris's shop every single day. Every single day. I was in Chris's shop to sell watches. Just to be hanging about. Like the stuff that he's done for me has been the key. It's been that one push that that someone needs.
Yeah.
And I owe him for that because like we now have an incredible team. We're probably about 12, 14 people. So.
And I hope you got Chris Casio to say thanks.
No, I gave him a wee Casio there the other day. Like, yeah.
Threw it at him in the street.
There you go, you boy.
That's amazing. That's fucking amazing. And we'll talk more about watches because like, it's such a weird specific world. Like part of the reason you can go on YouTube and start making watch content, and obviously be funnier than everybody talking about watches. So it rockets up there, but it is because it's this little like community of watch people.
Aye.
And there's all sorts, there's like, I like the guys who talk about a whole range of watches, like this is the watch that if you have fucking £1,500 or if you have £5,000 or whatever. But it's such a weird thing, isn't it?
The community itself is, the watch community is such a tight community, and it's very hard to penetrate yourself. It's weird, right? So it actually started, the brand Panerai?
Mm-hmm.
That's where that was the first club, the Panaristi. Yeah, it's fucking bonkers, mate. But it is, nowadays, watches are, luxury watches are expensive, right? It's luxury. Define the word luxury. It's something you have to work for. It's not easy obtainable. But now the community and definitely the YouTube community and the stuff, people that I always watch to, all of a sudden saw this weird guy screaming in a camera.
Yeah.
And didn't know what to think of it. And now the channel is, I think, the second biggest YouTube channel in the world on our subject. And that is in 10 months. And all these guys that I watched when I was younger, YouTube wasn't there, but when YouTube started, all of a sudden these guys were like, I don't know what to do with this. I don't know what to think of this guy.
Yeah.
Like, do I hate him? Do I like him? And so I'm like, it's so funny. Like,
yeah. Well, I think it's like, if you have like strong opinions about something, but then know like such specific details about things, I think they probably are like, well, I obviously knows his shit, like, but he is trashing like big watch brands and stuff like that. Explain the pick, because like I like watches. I'm not a mad enthusiast, and I don't really know that much about them. But I sort of know like what I'm looking at vaguely sometimes. But a lot of people wouldn't even know where the value in a watch comes from.
Let me turn this around. Why do you like watches? What was your first watch?
I think my dad got me like a Timex Expedition.
Do you still have that watch?
I fucking did till like I found it like probably a couple of months ago, and I left it in my pocket and I put it in the washing machine. Fuck yeah, ruined it. Was gonna give it to my son. But
can I come back to it? I was gonna give that to my son.
Yeah, right?
And this is exactly the reason why watches are so special, because there's not an object in the world where you can really do that.
Yeah,
what someone then can wear every single day.
Like a fucking 30 quid watch or something,
Exactly. Like the value sits in the sentimental value. There's not many people as hairy, proper man. I don't know why I said hairy.
Yeah.
But man can really carry every single day.
Yeah.
And enjoy every single day and look at it every single day and have a memory of that and even hand it down to another generation. Like, name me one thing, like a fucking shirt, but like, I mean, you can't wear that every day. You need to wash it sometimes, mate. Like,
guys aren't really wearing a lot of jewelry otherwise.
So for me, a watch is the only legitimate jewelry a man is allowed to wear. A wedding ring is a prison sentence. Done.
Shout out. Yeah. There is that. And I have watches like, I have like a red version of that I got as a gift before I did like the SSA Arena. This is a 100 quid watch, but I'm like, that's the fucking one that's in the, in the pictures.
I brought a watch for you. Like, I mean, obviously, I'm not gonna leave you left-handed. I forgot my bowl with sweets, but I thought it was so funny.
Oh, that's right.
There you go.
Oh fucking hell!
There you go. A proper goddamn watch, boy.
Oh yeah, I'll open it live. But like, even like the value of watches, there is a sentimental thing. But like,
you'll know every time you put this watch on or you see this, you'll be reminded of my stupid face whenever you see this one for the first time. Let me put a stupid face on.
I'm scared in case I already have. Oh no, I don't have this one.
No, exactly, because they're absolutely sold out because I probably bought all of them.
Yeah?
Yeah. You know what? You can wear it and see your tattoos are still visible.
I know, but I need to put a bit of fake tan under this watch. Thank you very much. Look at that. They are tough to get, aren't they?
They are.
The see-through.
I got your producer legend. What was your name again?
Niall.
Can I throw it over the thing?
He'll reach it.
Ah, he's like...
Get it.
You can give away a few watches to people as well if you want. Because you were talking about sweet balls and stuff.
Sweet balls?
You notice this watch is so important.
He's like Oprah, the Oprah of fucking digital watches.
Like, this watch is so important. You've no idea.
Right.
Like,
why?
This watch detonated bombs in Afghanistan. Like, I mean, genuinely, what do you call a president? Barack Obama wore this. This watch is worn by proper legends, like massive, like, how do you call them, singers and stuff, wore this watch. This is so important, this watch.
Is it because it's just the absolute entry?
No, it's the god tier.
The god tier.
This is cult. This is cult. This is a cult watch.
Why? Just because it is? Because it's worn by
legends? Because it is, like why is... I wanted to say something smart, but I forgot it.
Once again, welcome to the John and Bobby podcast.
I forgot it. I wanted to say something. No, I forgot it. But no, this is class, mate. So you can give away a few of these watches if you want to give away more. We actually give them away on the street in Belfast, like, genuinely. Okay,
now, is my fat hand going to be too... Look at that.
That's class, boy.
Obama. Cute. That's so cute. But other than sentimental value... How do you explain watches to people?
It tells the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And to a lot of people, they'd be like, so does fucking my phone.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. But now comes the thing, right? It's something so magical and special that people can't explain it.
Yeah.
Because you can buy that. It's a product that we don't need. Like, we need to see time, right? We do, but we don't need an expensive watch.
Yeah.
But people still want to spend money on it. People still find it so important because it is way more than a watch.
Yeah.
I just want you to understand that it's the reason why people spend that amount of money is not to tell the time. It's to either put sentimental value, commemorate an achievement, make a statement towards themselves. You see, I've done it. I can't afford it. Reward themselves.
Yeah,
there's so much more that goes into luxury watches with the thoughts and the sentimental value than it's just an expensive watch. Like,
do you see a lot of people who think that the first move when they make a bit of money is I have to fucking let people know? Are you cool with that?
Not, you know what?
Or would you rather someone was like, you know, you could look at their watch and be like, I know that watch is like 1500 quid. But I know that this guy's probably into watches because of that choice of watch.
And the funny bit is, I'm not in the shop that much anymore, right? So we have a really good team there, and Tim and Paul, they're doing an incredible job, and like, so I miss that type of thing, right? I do. I miss that interaction. But the thing is, someone walks into the shop and says, give me that one. And you just wrap it up in 10 minutes, done. And this happens, right? Mm-hmm. 10, 20 grand, give me that one. This happens. I don't like that.
Yeah, because it's a flex. It's just like...
It's just like, fuck it.
Yeah.
We had a kid in, and his father, and this was for his 18th birthday, bought a Black Bay last week. Black Bay, blue leather, blue strap, beautiful watch. We properly took time for that. An hour and a half, drink and explain him everything. Yeah. That is the stuff I love. That's passion.
He bought it for the kid?
Oh, yeah. The father bought it for a kid.
Yeah.
And passion above... anything else. That's for me personally. But like, I mean, at a certain point, you need to, we're running a business as well. And this is the thin line of where passion stops and where do you need to become a businessman?
Yeah.
So I have a director now in the business who manages the entire business because I get too emotional with it.
Yeah.
I just want to, I would still take 50 quid margin. Like,
yeah.
I'm not a business.
Yeah, just
mind, like
if there was a nice customer and it was a cool story,
I'm half pissed anyway. And I've done this way too many times, and people in Northern Ireland say, like, again, the people of Northern Ireland, no, I want you to make money.
Mm.
In the Netherlands, they're fucking, oh yeah, yeah, no, 100%, I'll take it and do a runner.
Yeah,
I am not that commercial. I'm not a commercial mastermind in that way, if you know what I mean. For me, it is about passion. It's about It's about the actual, like, it is so unique. Wearing this, right? This is just an expensive watch, right? This means, I think it's beautiful. It's something I always wanted, but there's no story behind this.
You just have access to it now?
I have access to it.
Yeah.
I genuinely don't give a shit. If I lose this, it would be hurtful and painful for the wallet and blah, blah, blah. It's insured, so we get the insurance money back.
Mm-hmm.
But if I lose my grandfather's Seiko, mate.
Yeah, you'd be gutted, like.
I will not be, like, I'm done, like.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? And, like.
And this cost 120 grand. Where that Seiko is, like, 50 quid.
Yeah.
You see, that's.
And you handed that to me in this office where I spill coffee on this desk weekly.
But it's passion above anything else, and that's where we've built the business on, like, and it's the most beautiful industry in the world. I have the best job in the world.
Class. I asked that question because I've seen people who jump in the fucking deep end with a Rolex or something, and, you know, they're probably not even into watches, but they were like, this is the thing I do now, and you're kind of like, you know, do you really like that even, or are you into, you know, is it just a bit of a fucking...
At a certain point, right, and when I bought my first, like, for me, Rolex was never attainable, right? So my father worked, like, his bollocks off to buy my mom, for 10 years, to buy my mom or her 26 millimeter Datejust, like, for 10 years, so he was able to give it for her 40th, yeah. Right? So my mom turned 40, this is like a million years ago. They're like 100 now. But anyway. Hello, mom. Hello.
Yeah, if your they're struggling
with English.
The,
they're struggling with English. So,
be impressed.
Exactly. But no, like, that fact that my father worked 10 years to save up and buy my mom that watch, that shit, that means the world, right? So for me, like, I don't come from a background where stuff like that was handed. So the crown, as I always call it, the crown Rolex, was always something fucking magical in my life. Because I remember picking up that watch with my dad. Like, my dad and I, like, we went to a city, Utrecht, actually, to pick up that watch. I remember that whole walk, and it was all so special. And that's where it really, really dawned to me, right? But it's not the fact for me, personally, that a Rolex is expensive. Because Audemars Piguet, Patek Philippe, Vacheron Constantin, they're fucking six times the price.
Yeah.
I don't have a vibe there. I don't feel that vibe, if you know what I mean. Yeah. I just don't feel it. So I rather have Rolex. And people use that. Like, a lot of people would buy Tag Heuer and then say, oh, yeah, we'll move up to Rolex. Like, there's never a wrong reason to buy a Rolex. And if people buy it to show off or whatever, I mean, it's their free choice, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
I'm personally more on, you've achieved something, you've worked hard for it.
I think it's more, I see people where they get a Rolex and you go, I think you have a lot of other shit to take care of before...
You
spend that sort of money on a watch.
People say then watches as investments and blah, blah, blah. And I'm not a financial... Like, we get that question a lot. I'm not a financial advisor. Buy a watch that you want first. That needs to be your first watch. But you know what? Like, if you want to... I wear a watch for me and not for anyone else. But that's my point of view. And I just want to make sure that people, when they actually then make that decision to buy a watch... that they at least being educated properly.
Like, I had spoken to you online about, there was like an Explorer 2 or something. But at the time it was like, I think I was just bored during a lockdown.
No.
And I was like, fucking, you know.
You should have bought that.
I know.
Do you remember how much I quoted you?
Yeah, it was like 7,850 or something.
Mm. Yeah.
About 10 grand, aren't they?
Yeah.
But it's fine. Like, it's not like...
You didn't lose it because you didn't have it in the first place.
Yeah, and I literally was just looking at watches all day and was like, oh, I could maybe get one of these now. But, I would rather tie it into an event. That's what I would rather do. Like, I'm doing the SSE again in September. I'd rather fucking stay somewhere nice, swing past the shop, pick it up, go on stage. You know, have it be cool. Then I was just fucking cutting the grass in my shorts. Like, I wonder should I buy this fucking watch? And the other thing is, I know, it's about the only Rolex that I you see, coming right from the sort of Timex expedition that my dad got me, I love a sort of like a, nearly like a tool watch, like a hard looking sort of tough watch.
Yeah,
that I wouldn't wear that. Good job I don't have 120 grand in my fucking pocket. But
no, I actually was planning to sell it to you.
Okay. I'll swap you. But like, I couldn't pull that off. Do you know what I mean? It's not my sort of thing, really.
For me, I was like, I'm colorblind as fuck, right? But I knew that there was a blue dial, and I know this is kind of blue, so I thought, you know, blue.
Yeah.
Still blue.
Yeah. So. I don't, even like a Datejust or something, you know, anything sort of shiny and gold or something, it's not going to look good on me. Like,
no.
So thankfully,
that's in your mind. Have you ever wore a Rolex for a certain amount of time?
No.
So let's change that. I'll put a watch on your wrist for a month. See what you think.
What size? I think a lot of them are quite small.
You kind of have a fat wrist, though.
Thank you.
42 millimeter, minimum.
Yeah, minimum, yeah.
Minimum.
I'd say so.
Yeah.
I'll
put a watch on your wrist. We'll get that sorted tomorrow.
Would I be more of a Panerai guy moving in that sort of world? Big.
You need to buy what you really love.
Yeah.
This could, that would be your first luxury watch, right? What I always try to avoid is...
Apart from that.
Yeah, but that's God tier, mate. That's next level, right? You have luxury and you have, you know...
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That is the cult status.
Yeah.
Detonate bombs and stuff. I'm not going to make the Belfast comment. But it actually did. Right. I did make the Belfast comment. I can say that I'm not from here and I love this place.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
Exactly.
The war's over.
Yes, good.
As Mickey Bartlett would say, it was a draw.
Oh my God.
What are you saying? Like, if you just have it on your wrist for a minute, but that's any watch. Do you ever like swap watches?
No, like,
fuck, this is big. And then you after know, like a day, or you
say this as a joke, but it's genuinely, whenever you wear a Rolex and you walk outside, your balls grow that little bit bigger.
Yeah.
I swear. I have said this comment kind of in a funny way, but people actually text me and say, Nico, you're so right. And so I'm like, oh yeah, I know. It's not the bills, mate.
It's not the fillers of how I put
it. No,
them,
but it gives you that extra, like the first time I put a Rolex on, or I can't remember that, but the first time I bought my own Rolex, right? That vibe, that feeling, that accomplishment, that on its own was worth every single penny.
Yeah, because I suppose it is just like a, it's like a self-care type of thing where you're like, I'm doing this for me because I can do it and it makes me feel better. I suppose it's like when someone buys like, fucking, you know, 800 pound pair of heels or something. It's just something that's like a life achievement.
Exactly.
But makes you feel fucking way better.
Exactly. It makes you feel better. It's so not necessary, but it so makes you feel better. And if you then also buy the right watch, you wouldn't lose a penny either.
Yeah.
Right?
And you were talking about investments. Like, who gives a fuck about that? Why would you be, what a terrible way to buy a watch.
Exactly. Terrible way, but it is a way of making money, right?
Yeah.
Fact.
But I think you should probably have, you know, it's like if you're buying a car, you wouldn't be like, is this going to be a classic in fucking 50 years?
But would you still define it luxury if you buy something and it loses 80%, is then the price setting not wrong? So if I want to buy an asset.
That would just be like a trendy thing.
Yeah. If I buy an asset, I don't want it to lose 80% at least. Like even if I'm not planning on selling it, I would like to have that value at least in the back of my head. Like, but now comes the thing, right? I don't have a penny on my bank account. No, I have a few pennies on my bank account, but it's not many, right? My savings account is my watch box.
Yeah.
Because I'm not good with money, mate. If I have money in my fucking pocket, I go mad.
Yeah.
I go buy cars, do this, do that. Like,
I used to describe myself as Jay-Z with a tenner.
Yeah,
it's like fucking. Who wants a round?
Exactly.
Can I have a lift.
I can't go. If I go out for sesh, right?
Yeah.
Proper sesh, like it's the most expensive thing because when then I have money in my pocket and then I'm buying everyone drinks.
Yeah.
It's like no bother, mate.
Yeah.
Like I had some nights and ollies, like thousands of pounds, like, and I was like,
it's a lot of Skittle bombs.
And I'm like, what the fuck did I do? Like, you see, I'm not good with money. So what I do is I buy a watch.
Yeah.
So say I've like, I saved up a certain amount, right? I buy a watch, put it in my watch box. Whenever I need that money, in some way, shape, or form, or emergency, I sell that watch.
Put it back in the.
I sell that watch
in the mix,
and then I have that money back. And meanwhile, the value of the watches that I buy from that money is increasing because,
yeah,
it kind of like this is kind of what I do. Like,
yeah,
I mean, it's like,
yeah, especially in this day and age. So your money might as well be in a thing instead of just fucking.
No, but for me, that is a more safer way, and it's. As a purist, it's hard to say.
Your mates are like, do you want to go out to Ollie's tonight? And you're like, I'm going to have to buy that 120 gram watch, aren't I?
Yeah.
Or I'm going to be fucking skint.
Exactly, mate. But I'm terrible at money, like.
Yeah.
Like, literally.
And it's funny, like, you know, how many people would look at that watch and know what they were looking at? I would know, you know, what it was, but I wouldn't know the actual significance of, like, that. Color of the dial and how rare it is.
From the proper pure watch enthusiastics, 25%.
Yeah.
Crazy. That know that this is the jumbo. They know that this is the boutique only.
How many people
know?
Would see that and be like, is that like a Michael Kors or something? And you're like, for fuck.
No, nice. I get the question. Is that real?
Yeah.
In Belfast. Mainly in Belfast I get this. Is this real?
Yeah. No. No,
mate.
None of it's real.
No, it's fake, mate.
Yeah.
No, it's genuine fake. Yeah.
Yeah, like, why? I mean, that's the most embarrassing. Well, obviously, you'd rather be wearing that.
No, but you know, that's there's no right or wrong answer.
Yeah.
But when someone asks you, is this real? Is it a real Rolex?
Who knows?
Yeah. No, but there's no right or wrong. If you say, yeah, of course, you look like an arrogant prick. If you say, no, you're lying.
Yeah.
And you look like a dick because you're wearing a fake.
But the problem is, like, what would a fake version of that still cost you?
Wouldn't have a clue, mate.
Because I've seen, you know, they see all those videos online and they have fucking two watches beside each other and they're like, you know, which one's a fake? And they're like, yeah, the fake was still fucking $2,500 or something. Do you know what I mean? Like, who the fuck? Why would you do that? Why would you get the fake version for still thousands of pounds? Like, it's insane.
It's bonkers. Like, the industry itself, you can say what you want, but having the replica market next to the real market, it's actually quite good because it introduces people that don't have a budget or younger people that don't have a budget to something to aspire to. So I'm saying something that is completely the opposite of anything I should be saying because I'm in this industry, but it is in a way good because it literally gives, like, the younger generation, like, a feel for it.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird. Like, when I was 16, mate, I was rocking around with a fake Rolex as well.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't afford the real deal. But therefore, I knew that I wanted that so badly. And I was wearing it for myself, not to show off. Like,
yeah, I mean, like, you know, probably the main thing for someone who sells watches now is that a person that age is into watches.
Yeah.
I didn't even know what a fucking, like, an automatic watch was or what the difference was till fucking about 5 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, I was just like, oh, it's a watch. That one's a digital watch. You know, I wasn't even thinking about it.
And now you have Apple Watches, right?
Yeah.
Cracker, right? Because that's so good for the industry. Because first people buy the Apple Watch on this rubber strap thing, right? Where you pay like a fortune for it and it's rubber. Like, I mean, it's how to get fucked without saying that you're getting fucked.
Yeah.
Right? And then the next step for people that have an Apple Watch is to buy a lovely strap on it,
mm-hmm.
right? Like a metal kind of mesh strap, and that's what a lot of people do. And then they all of a sudden see it as a fashion thing.
Yeah.
And the moment they see it as a fashion thing, they're going to think, traditional watch.
Yeah.
That's the next step.
Yeah.
The more people wear Apple Watches now, the better it is for the future for the watch industry.
I know. And it's funny because it's the one that probably should be the most expensive, the amount of technology in it, but
there's no craftsmanship there.
Yeah.
You know why a watch is expensive?
Yeah, because it's like micro mechanics.
Explain me that one.
Well, people, you know, people like the engineering.
Exactly.
In a very compact little area.
So it's not the materials that a watch is produced. Of course.
This will answer my question earlier, which is like, why are they...
Did you ask that question? Did I lose that question in my head? I am fucking ADHD caloric.
It was definitely my fault, but like, it'll explain to people why these watches start to fucking jump up in money.
That has got to do with demand more than anything.
Right? Not materials so, and like no, how complex not the materials. It is.
No, no, no. You have Gerard Périgueux making the best fucking sports watch in solid gold, and still you can pick it up at $5,000. Like where a steel Daytona made out of steel, it's worth six times the price.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the materials really.
Okay.
It's right?
Just the.
It's the demand that drives that price up. But the reason why watches are mostly expensive is the actual time of a Swiss watchmaker, is the actual materials that is used on the dial, stuff like that. But as well, the brand and name, Patek Philippe, the way they finish a movement, mate, Elong and Söhne, it's bonkers, mate. And it's all handcrafted, handmade.
Yeah,
that's where the value is. Every single part handmade.
Yeah, wild.
Put together.
Wild.
400 shit. Parts in a perpetual, 450 parts in a perpetual calendar. Mate.
Yeah.
There's literally a guy putting that together.
Yes.
Yeah. Incredible.
Madness.
It is madness. Like.
Crazy. And again, some people would think about that and be like, well, sure, who gives a fuck if that tells you the time or the phone tells you the time? It's
exactly.
Nuts.
But it is how much value you put on it as a yeah. person. Like, you see, I love stories.
Yeah.
I just love fucking stories. I can listen to bedtime stories. No, back in the day, I just love stories. History, fucking Discovery Channel galore. Like, yeah. I mean, I love that shit. Right? And watches have stories. The history of this watch, the watch that saved the Swiss watch industry. That's this watch. I love that story. I don't have any sentimental attachment to this exact watch, but with this model, I do.
Yeah.
So there's a story behind that, the saving of the Swiss watch industry, and I think that's fascinating.
Do you reckon there's any watch companies that just, you know, they're like, send one of those to fucking Jay-Z there, just have it land on his door. See what he thinks.
Aye.
And then the next verse comes out and he mentions the brand name.
You know, I think it was Jay-Z or it could have been someone else. He had some flipping event and he sent invitations out.
Mm-hmm.
Or charity event it was. And the invitations contained a Rolex Daytona.
Yeah.
He was bribing people.
Yeah.
You come to my... Here's a watch, come to my event. I swear.
I'd go.
Could have been Jay-Z or it was...
Just at Jay-Z's barbecue eating a hot dog.
Aye, exactly.
New Daytona, that's correct.
Aye, no bother, mate. I'll come to your charity auction thing. No, I won't. I swear, funny like.
We will, I put up questions on the Patreon. We've a lot of questions.
What is Patreon?
Patreon is basically a platform that allows you to create like your own subscription service. So we have our public podcast.
Yeah.
And then I have a whole community over there who I do extra content for.
All right.
But it's like a little community.
Is it like OnlyFans?
It's exactly like that.
Do you have OnlyFans?
No, it's Patreon. But I could have an OnlyFans. There's no real difference. I could get my dick out on Patreon too.
No, never mind, mate. I don't want to see that. I
don't want to see that. Or not. Whatever.
Or whatever.
But they're basically like the most dead on of the people who listen to this podcast.
All right.
They're like the private community. But I put up
for OnlyFans. Do you pay for that? Do people pay for that?
Yeah, people pay in and they get it.
That's your support, basically. So people support you with that.
Well, yeah, it does. Pays for all this shit. But we do extra content for them.
Aye,
so they get more podcasts and stuff like that.
I'm not really into this digital world. Like,
are you not? Second biggest fucking YouTube and
yeah, but that is I can't string one sentence together if I try. These guys, my editors, my editors are absolute bonkers, mate. They're legends.
I know.
Like, unbelievable. They make me look good. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
With the next time, I'll have to make me look skinny.
But. I like the one where you ripped the shirt off. That was fun. I might do that someday in here if we don't get some fucking air conditioning. So we've got some questions. We'll skim through them. They're all watch related, believe it or not. How does he feel about people who check time on their phone? But I think we've established it's not really about telling time, is it?
I really appreciate the question, but I have no idea how to answer it. Like, I have no idea. It's like, how do I feel about them? Now, yeah,
they should be killed.
They should be killed. They should be thrown in a room together with you and then whatever.
What have we got?
I have no idea.
Thoughts on Ted Baker and fossil watches? I suppose that falls into the
It's fashion.
Fashion watch. Oh, yeah.
It's fashion watch. Yeah, fair play. Like, fashion. Like, I mean, it's just you can also go and buy that exact watch on Alibaba.com for like a fiver.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't usually last that long. Let me see. Best reasonably priced watch with a massive face on it. Rather than a load of cheap ones and one expensive one. Mm. Pilot watch, maybe?
Fucking G-Shock, mate.
G-Shock?
G-Shock for life.
G-Shock, big
God tier.
Big face on it.
Don, big face, big yoke, 47mm, no bother.
Yeah, can't even fucking...
Do the turtle, the po, no, the pote, tote. Why did I say that? Me don't speak English very well. It's the tote. You know tote?
Yeah.
The tote is this shelf thing, right? No.
What?
Tote is... I'm an absolute dick.
Nico's been drinking. So.
Google that. G-Shock tote. I swear.
G-Shock
tote. What is a tote?
Tote?
Yeah, T-O. I can't even spell, mate.
T-O-T-E? Like tote? No.
T. You know in Mario Kart, there's this...
Turtle? Turtle?
Turtle. Tote. Fuck me. Right. I have difficult spelling, so the T for titties,
yeah.
The O for Oscar, the A for Alpha, and the D for...
Oh, Toad?
Toad.
That G-Shock one. Toad?
Yeah.
That's a watch? Oh, yeah. Are we plugged in now in the fucking... Ah, fuck it. Yeah, the multicolored...
Oh, my God.
Oh, shit. Look at this fucking high-tech shit.
Oh, HDMI.
I know what an
HDMI cable is.
This is so... now I can bring it up on the screen. Yeah, that's cool. What's that worth?
They're going for about 1,200 quid. Like,
oh, shit, son.
Grey market. Like, they're going above retail. Like,
so they're quite hard to get your hands
on.
Yeah,
but that's a big watch and you'll not lose a penny and it's good. Like, it's Casio. It's fucking god tier, boy.
There it is. 15 Hondo. Stock X. Yeah, it's just this multicolored yoke over here. It's cool.
You see the market of G-Shocks, including the ones that you're wearing, going up as well.
Yeah, I like this that these are a little bit smaller. You know, it's not as big a fucking lump of shite on your wrist, but especially in the summer, you know, you just want to wear a wee plasticky light one. It's great. It's great. You know the crack with watches. What do you think of a lot of proper timepieces being ruined by loads of precious stones? Are they still a functional piece or are they just offensive?
I made a comment about this in a YouTube video, right? So you have aftermarket diamonds, right? You know that these are diamonds that weren't good enough in a single piece of jewelry worth 50 quid.
Okay.
So these diamonds being sold, which they shouldn't be sold, should actually be destroyed, but they're being sold per fucking kilo or in a bag, right? You can buy that. And then these guys put these diamonds on a watch. You call it aftermarket?
I got mixed up on that. I thought that you were cracking up because the actual watch, the value of the watch is being fucked up because you were drilling all into it.
Yeah, as well.
And it was now just the value of the diamonds, basically, but the diamonds are worth fuck all too.
Exactly. Wow. So they destroy a very valuable piece with what? And then act like Billy Big Balls.
Something like Claire's accessories. Just like
exactly. You can fucking, like, it's bonkers. And then you have factory set and fucking aftermarket and a Drake song. And then Justin Bieber was wearing this. I think we were the only one that actually spotted that. That during that song, I don't know what song it is.
It's got a fake watch?
No, like the dial is fake. Like the dial is not made by Rolex. And if something is not made by Rolex, it's not a Rolex dial. And if it's not a Rolex dial, but it says Rolex dial, it's a fake dial.
Mm.
You see what I mean?
Yummy.
But in this song, what I don't know. James
gave up ages ago. He's out of the game. Yeah.
What was that song called from Drake with Justin Bieber?
Oh, come on, man.
Come on, mate. It's Justin Biebs.
Justy Biebs.
It's like, and where he says, yeah, watch his factory, blah, blah. And then during that clip, it's
he
like.
He actually says that?
Yeah. No joke. No joke.
Bieber or Drake?
No. During his Drake song, right, which Justin Bieber does the video clip.
Okay.
Like, you need to, and the watch he actually shows is a, what?
Pop star.
Indeed. Like, and then in the video, he shows his watch and actually, mate. That's just a fucking piece of shit. That watch is ruined.
What'd you say?
Don't play that because it's you'll be demonetized and stuff. Because
he says in that song, 42 millimeter made in Geneva. Anyway. So it was fake. Embarrassing.
Yes. But people don't realize that. They see just diamond watch and immediately think diamonds are expensive. Rolex is expensive. And it's like, wow, that must be them really expensive.
Yeah.
And then people just show that off like they're Billy Big Balls with big balls, right? Yeah. I don't know what point I wanted to make, but it's basically shit.
Yeah,
it's shit.
They've just wrecked it.
Yeah, they wrecked, not only wrecked the watch, but also act like something that is worth something like it's not.
Yeah.
I'm
sure there's like, what was that brand you said? Lange, what
is A Lange & Söhne.
Yeah, I've seen some of those pop up and they're like fucking, you know, like quarter of a million fucking euro or something.
Aye.
But, you know, if they were really flexing, they would just wear, you know, this little watch with the fucking leather strap.
Exactly.
And be like, oh yeah, I could fucking put you out of business with this thing. You know.
Aye.
Instead of
that,
all.
That is what your man Ed Sheeran does, like.
Yeah.
He just wears, and everyone is always like, it's just Ed Sheeran, he's a normal kid. Walks around with a fucking quarter of a million or a million quid watch or 1.6 million watch on his wrist.
Still can't get a haircut.
People have no idea. Like, it still looks like he just woke up like 5 weeks ago.
That's the way to do it. He looks like a tramp, and then the watch is fucking ridiculous.
Aye. Haircut. I am jealous of his collection, though. Like,
between him and the Paul brothers, get a fucking barber.
You know, we hired someone.
To kill him? What?
No. Like, we actually hired a guy called Logan Paul. Paul Logan. And I am constantly making that mistake. I genuinely, when I saw this.
Oh, in the shop or something?
We got his CV in for the first time. It's like,
oh, right.
This is a fake CV, mate.
Yeah.
This is fake.
Paul Logan.
Yeah, because we were always taking the piss out of Logan Paul, right? Always. And there's like some YouTubers taking the piss here, mate.
Yeah.
Like, genuinely, I just couldn't. Oh, I was pissing myself. But he's a really, really good kid. But yeah, because of his name, I torture him sometimes.
That's so funny.
It's funny, like.
Paul Logan, fuck me. Let me see what else we got. I'm thinking of buying a vintage watch. Should I ask for a service history?
No. You don't buy the watch by the seller, right? So there's not a service history.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's not like cars. You see what I mean? Just make sure that the reputation of the seller is impeccable, unbelievable. Because buying vintage, you really, really need to know what you're doing there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you really, really need to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because certain Rolex Daytonas, vintage ones. One cost 200 grand and the other one that looks identical costs like 50 grand. What's the difference?
Yeah.
Handset replaced, dial replaced, bezel replaced, different hands, stuff like that.
Yeah, it's fucking...
It's a really tricky one. You really need to know what you're doing there and you need to be properly informed, not just by one party, but you need several opinions and then you can form your own opinion. So say you want to buy a vintage.
That would be so scary, like where you buying it from eBay or something.
And I would always recommend that, even if some people come to us, say, for a vintage Submariner, have it checked out by three other dealers that are very specialized in vintage, so you know it's legit. Like,
yeah, it must be the scariest shit of all time if you were like, had something, you know, in the cart and you're like, all right then.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
And then you end up with some fucking... heap of shit coming back. Help me watch up the mirror. Oh, that's bad. That's a bad joke. 50k to spend. Do you get a selection of really nice watches or one absolute monster? I know what I would rather have because I have zero patience, or I'd rather have loads of watches.
Yeah?
Than just one big fucking beast of a watch.
I would diversify.
Yeah?
Yeah, I would buy multiple.
Yeah.
I know exactly what I would buy. Like,
go ahead. 50 grand's quite a bit of money for this guy to be thrown about.
If you just get gifted, it's different. Like, you see what I mean? It's just like, here's 50k, get a gift. You can only spend it on watches. Only thing. I would buy brands that I would have never bought before.
Okay.
Maxi Mariner. Like, such a cool watch, which I don't want to spend money on.
Yeah.
Normally, but they're flipping class, like.
Okay. Just open up the collection a bit.
Aye.
Holy shit, this is going to be an insane podcast. Can we have a specific Watch Talk only podcast for us horology geeks?
I think... Would it not,
this is, I mean, what else was it going to be, really? Well, I can't get real
I
deep
wanted
into
to
it.
Talk about life, about...
We did talk about life,
yeah,
man.
About,
we did talk about life.
No, I can't say that word. I'm really, like, I because I kind of use language sometimes, which I have no idea that I use language.
Yeah.
Certain language, and I... Like, not like you said that on your thingy.
Like, bad language? Well, listen, I'd never, this is the safe space, you know? If you want to call yeah, Mal a fucking cunt, you know, fill your boots. This is the space to do it. What's the craziest feature on a non-smartwatch?
Hands. It's the craziest feature.
Yeah.
Because it's actually bonkers, if you think about it. There's this one pivot, spins, and then there's hands. And it tells the time magically.
Yeah.
It's bonkers, mate.
That just blew my mind.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say something crazy there, but just...
It's scary. Jeez. It's special, mate.
Right, we'll rip through some of these. Let me see. Recently handed in my notice at work. Plan to go back to uni. What's your advice to people making the jump out of their comfort zones?
Don't go to uni.
Yeah, unless you want to be a doctor or something. It's like...
I literally have no qualification. None.
Yeah.
None. I do have my driving license. Yeah. I lost it twice, but I did get it back at a certain point, right? But that, genuinely, I get this question a lot. Yeah, but studying this. And it's like, if you want to fit into a route that is planned, right? If you want to fit into a normal way,
yeah,
go to uni, mate. If you just want to do what you want to do,
I just think, like, things move too quickly in those years that you're in university.
Aye.
You know, the stuff that they're teaching you, it's, like, obsolete by the time you're done.
I mean, I can't speak out of experience.
Yeah, you're like, I don't know.
I am just, like, I know a lot of people and a lot of friends of mine. I don't have a lot of friends, but I know a lot of people that have went to uni and it's, like, they're in this job because that's what they studied. And now they're stuck in his job.
I think that the way he said, like, you know, out of your comfort zone, when you have to, like,
mate,
sink or swim, you find different ways to get by and then you know more stuff.
Mate, I nearly lost a business on lockdown, right? Yeah. Nearly went bankrupt just the first lockdown. Like, YouTube, like, let me start at the beginning, right? To go back to the previous story, when I quit my job and started watches, mate, the hustle, now looking backwards, is the biggest education, right?
Yeah.
And Steve Jobs once said, like, you can only connect the dots looking backwards. You need that hustle, right? And you can only really push yourself when you do not have any other option than to succeed, right? So that means that when you quit your job and you want to start your own business, that needs to be your only revenue stream, your only income. If you then have a side hustle next to it, you will never push yourself. You will never go through hell to really, really achieve what you always want to achieve. I had no other option than to succeed.
Yeah.
And I didn't succeed for the first year and a half. It was pain. It was sleepless nights. It is now 17 hours a day, 7 days a week. No exception. First in, first out. Mm-hmm. First in, last out. Not first in, first out.
First in, home at quarter past nine.
Yes.
Fucking see you later.
First in, last out. First in, first out. That's what I usually say to you. No. Anyway, but it is that hustle. It's that is the comfort zone. People say, it is making sure that you do not have a safety net.
Yeah.
So you have to push yourself. You have to do it.
Well, even like comedy is the same thing. I know people who... You know, they do stand up and they still have a normal job, but they never really fucking go for it.
Aye.
Because they're like, I can do a bit of this, I can whatever. And then the people who just quit everything and just do that.
Are you not scared on stage? Like, I would fucking...
Yeah.
Yeah?
Every time. Yeah, it's terrifying.
Like, what goes through your mind? I'm very curious about this. We had this conversation actually in the car.
On Sunday, I did a fucking sold out gig at the Limelight. First gig back since September, and like that's like you know, normally you would sort of break yourself in gently. You're like, I'll try and do a small gig. I'll do someone else's gig. That was my first gig back. You've been in the limelight, like fucking. It's a big room full of people, and I was shitting myself. And a lot of the material that I was going to try was new, so I'd never done it on stage before. So you're going, I don't even know if I can still do stand up. I don't know if I'm still funny. I can't remember any of this shit. It seemed funny when I wrote it down the other day, but now that I have to go on stage in 10 minutes, I'm like, this is bullshit. And you're just like, you know, just that crazy like adrenaline going up your neck and everything. And then you walk on stage and then it's fine. It's like the biggest
fucking... Is that like the first 30 seconds or does it take you like 5 or 10 minutes to relax?
I don't think you fully ever relax because you're still like, you still have the adrenaline, but it makes you, once you can talk on stage, you're a lot sharper and, you know, tuned in. But when that adrenaline, when you're sitting on a sofa, like half an hour before the gig, just like, what the fuck am I doing here? But that's that doesn't really go away at all.
No?
No.
Fuck me, this YouTube life, mate. It scares the living life out of me, like, every time.
And like you're where do you record in your house?
No. We have a full studio now, a full studio set up. It scares the living life out of me, like
just talking to a camera?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, but like we now have because Johnny and James behind the camera, so we have this conversation, so it actually makes me relax then.
Yeah.
Because then you have a normal conversation.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like there's a camera, but you need to get into that.
Yeah.
Like I am, funny enough, it sounds really weird, but I'm actually quite shy. I'm not really like, don't look at me type of guy, you see what I mean? And then the camera, like, it's a battle every single day. And then, like, YouTube is 10 times more difficult than anything I've ever done before. Because it's, like, mentally, if you're mentally not like, you in 7 days of the week, you can't feel good 7 days a week.
Oh, yeah.
So sometimes there's shit on your mind and then you need to do this video and you need to record. And I'm not trying to be funny. I just try to be me.
Yeah.
See, when if I'm funny or not, or if I'm, as long as I can add value, either by making entertain or sharing some wee nuggets of knowledge.
Yeah.
That's all. But it's so difficult.
Well, that's, I can relate to that. I mean, like, when you have to be entertaining all the time, and there's days where, like, you know, I had a pretty rough year last year, you know, with family stuff and everything, and it's like, you know, you're standing back, you quite literally might have come from like a hospital to a fucking gig, and you're standing backstage and you're exhausted and you're like fucking doing star jumps and push-ups, right, trying to bring yourself up, and then you walk on, you're like, hey, what's the crack, fucking down Patrick, you know, you want to fucking jump under a bus. But yeah, always have to be on for everyone.
I know what you're talking about and what happened. This was with your wife, I think.
Yeah.
And generally, if you're able to make that switch, that is, I think, the biggest challenge that you can have as a, like, that's unbelievable that you've overcome.
It was fucking tough. Like, yeah.
I mean, that will stay with you for the rest of your life. That's your experience now. That is, you've done that, so you're mentally strong.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I suppose it. Yeah, probably doesn't get much tougher than that. Like, but I haven't experienced anything like that. But yeah, you do have to just like put it aside for a second. Luckily, the podcast is kind of, you know, it's a bit more personal, so you don't have to show up like Mr. Fucking Showbiz. Not that I'm not anyway, but you know, you don't really have to put on an act doing a podcast. You can have a week where it's a bit more serious or whatever, and people come on like, "Fuck, this used to be a comedy podcast."
General banter, mate.
I know. Banter my arse.
Banter my arse. I want to talk about fucking depressing stuff. Leave me alone. I'm a depressing cunt, so fucking... I didn't get laid this week.
Yeah, or fucking ever. A lot ever. Of these people.
No, but, like, I genuinely, like, that whole thing you... Like, I'm only on that YouTube stuff. It wasn't, first of all, it wasn't my idea, right?
Who pushed you into that?
It took me... The plan was on the table for months, right? And I said, no, this will never work. No, it will never happen. No, I'm not good enough. No, I can't do this. No. For months, mate. It could have been 6-7 months if I think it was.
Yeah.
Like, and at a certain point, I didn't have any other card to play. Either I'm going bust.
So this was kind of like a lockdown thing?
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Isn't it crazy? Like, some people really... you know, first of all, you wouldn't have been, you wouldn't have had that opportunity maybe, or the time to even do that if there wasn't like a lockdown.
YouTube saved my life. It saved my business. It allowed me to grow the business, but it's also my biggest fear factor. It's really weird. So, like, I didn't, the one idea I didn't believe in would ever work turned out the idea that not only saved my business, but also gave me back another opportunity and another shot in the industry.
It's crazy.
It's bonkers.
But people are going to, because of that presence, people will want the Pride and Pinion experience.
Yeah.
They could. They might go, right, I can buy a watch somewhere else, but I'd rather go up here, see Nico, maybe, you know, fucking chat shit, get a photo. You know, that's more of an experience.
We have people traveling all over the world to come to the shop. Genuine. Yeah. Like it's bonkers. So we had a guy from New York in yesterday. Came fucking New York. I swear. How we got past the security fucking COVID stuff.
Are you working?
No idea.
Yeah.
I'm not asking, right? But like genuine. Like we have people traveling to see, and that is the most, he didn't buy a watch, right? But he just wanted to have that experience, wanted to see the shop. That is the most incredible thing, most incredible compliment ever. I don't give a shit if he sells a watch. Like my director does, because that's his job to worry about that. I just want to make sure that people come to Belfast, come to the shop, be an added value, experience that passion. That's all I want. And YouTube allowed me, it's funny enough, the contrast is huge, where there's some weird fucking dude shouting all sorts of things under the sun, me. And then there's this shop, which is the most exclusive watches in the world, like $500,000, a £3 million watch.
In your shop?
Yeah.
And what
like,
is it?
Like, Audemars Piguet prototype. I can't show any photos. But it's bonkers. So that contrast with this guy that shouts and does, and then this shop with the brand and with the crown, with like that passion, that is, people just still like, huh?
Yeah, it doesn't compute.
No, and it's like, because this industry, it's the most beautiful industry, but this industry is always seen as very snobby, and that is what's wrong with the industry. We're not snobs.
Exactly. It's just given regular people access to that world where you wouldn't even, that's what I'm saying, like I was talking about, I didn't even know what a fucking automatic watch meant or was a certain, it's like bringing it to people that would just never even think about watches or see it or know that lifestyle or know their options or anything, because it's very like I'm sure it used to be very much like, you know, when you hear about waiting lists and you know, you have to be like a repeat customer in these places. You're already a fucking rich guy that has 20 watches, and they bring you in, here's a cigar, and you know, check this out. No one's in that world. No one gets to see that.
How wrong is this? No, you want to spend 10 grand on a watch, right? You go to this fucking jeweler's place, which I spoke about allegedly earlier, right? How wrong is this, right? I can sell you this watch at £10,000, but I want you to buy jewelry first. And then I maybe allow you to spend your hard-earned money. Is that not fucking... Would you ever accept that?
So I'm walking down the street with a pair of fucking diamond earrings, waiting on my Rolex to come in?
How wrong is this? These authorized bollocks...
Do they want to make sure that you're serious about it or something? Or?
No. They just want to make more money.
Yeah.
Like, it's bonkers. Like, no, you can't buy that watch. It's like, because it's in high demand, it's waiting list. It's all, waiting list is gone. It's now qualification list. So you're being qualified as a customer. This is what's wrong with the industry. You're qualified. Are you good enough? Are you sober? Are you fucking white enough? Black enough? Are you spending enough? Is your bank balance good? Do you not have a fucking criminal record? Like, you're...
Really?
Yeah, no, I don't know about a criminal record because, I mean, no. It's bonkers. That's what's wrong with this industry. And listen, you need a spending history. So we had a customer in the other day. He was by these people I spoke about earlier, allegedly. Fucking bricks. Listen, some of the people that work there are actually nice, right?
Okay.
But the owner, the family, like, if you're ever watching this.
Yeah, we're not just the general thing. Really, personally speaking, just the fucking owners. Fuck
Mister, you. Will you fuck up,
exactly. I told you I was coming for you. Now I am. Right?
Am I going to like come in the office someday and there's just a fucking horse head at the door?
Oh, fuck. They literally, Chris Suter, they went to Chris Suter, say, can you please not talk, promote this guy? And I swear, mate, bonkers. I swear, stories behind that. But anyway, where was I with the story again? Oh, yeah. You need to, like, a customer came in the shop. Yeah, mate, I wanted to buy that watch, which they had available, but I had to buy this bracelet with diamonds first. And I went, the customer was like so annoyed by it that he literally paid the premium with us. He's like, I'm just so annoyed. Like, I mean, I'm not. So you want me to spend money first before I'm maybe allowed to spend further money on this watch? Like, genuinely. Because they can sell these. There's 20 million people. No, I don't know. There's enough people that will buy that watch that day. So they try to take the piss out of it.
Oh, right.
And sell it to the highest.
Okay, so they're like, who's really serious?
So, and instead of asking a premium, what the grey market does,
yeah,
they say, buy some jewellery.
And what are you talking, like, is that a price because it's like a authentic place?
So, it works this way, right? So Rolex sets the prices worldwide, right?
Okay.
So in every country, it's a little bit different. It got to do with it, like different currencies and stuff like that. But say a Rolex America costs 7,500 quid, right? And you want to walk it. You want to say, hey, are you safe? You worked your bollocks off. You can finally buy that watch. Walk into the shop. Ah, sorry, mate. It's waiting list, mate. Years and years. Have you bought a Rolex before? No. It's going to be my first Rolex. No chance. No chance we'll ever sell you one. You saved your bollocks off to buy that watch. That was your crown jewels. That's what you wanted. And you're being turned away that way. But it's because they can sell that watch to many other people. The demand on that watch is significantly higher than they're actually available. Right? So say they get an authorized dealer.
Why don't they just fucking charge more up top?
So that's what Rolex doesn't allow to do. And that's what the grey market does. That's what we do.
Yeah.
We buy them at higher prices and sell them at higher prices.
Yeah.
So that same Submariner, what the authorized dealer costs 7.5, we sell that same watch for 11.
Yeah.
But we have it directly available.
But you just fucking stroll in and buy it and leave instead of playing all the
Exactly. Pay the games. They don't buy jewelry. You don't buy. See what I mean? It's just about the watch. So there's a difference between a retail price and the market price, which usually is retail price and the market price is lower. You go to a clothing shop and say, I buy that shirt. Now, if you want to sell that shirt, you get less for that shirt,
mm-hmm.
right? So usually the market price, market value is lower than the retail value. But in the luxury watch world, not with all the watches, but with a lot of watches, it's the opposite. The retail value is 10, but the market value is like 15.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, it's because there's so much demand for that watch.
That's nuts.
It's bonkers, like. And people are making money off that. Flippers, whatever, professional flippers buy that from, suck up to their authorized dealers, or, like our friends allegedly do, sell it to some contacts in Hong Kong. If you're watching, I know exactly who they are. So
this is getting real mafia.
Like, sell them backdoor, which every authorized dealer does allegedly.
Yeah, because I'm sure somebody could just walk in there and be like, I'd like 20 of these for retail, and then they just take them straight to fucking five other places and like
sell it for more, but they're not allowed because they would lose their dealership. So what they do, instead of asking more for that watch, they ask the customer, you need to buy for 50 grand of jewelry before you can buy this.
I just don't understand how would they propose that to someone, like, oh, you like that watch? And they're like, do they openly be like,
yeah, openly,
yeah,
no shame? And it's like, it is,
how do they word that? Just like, hey, you want that watch? Cool, so does fucking everybody.
Yeah,
you're gonna have to buy something else.
Exactly.
And
like
they
that.
Say it like that.
Yeah. And it is a joke, mate. It is a joke.
You would just end up with such a pile of shit that you didn't need. You
know? And then you finally have that watch.
You like, know, you're set, you could take a photo of this fucking new Rolex, you got this lovely, like, fucking pearl necklacey thing in your fucking tet hair.
It is just like, it is so wrong, right? And that is, that's, someone asked me recently, will you ever want to become an, like an official dealer? I said, no fucking chance. I don't, I want to be free and independent and being able to give an independent advice and want to be able, if someone wants a watch, we'll have that watch for you tomorrow, mate. Don't worry. Mm-hmm. If we don't have it, we'll get it tomorrow. At any moment in time, we have about 150 to 200 watches in stock, ready to go. Yeah. And every high in demand, we have double in stock. But the key is that we can deliver. And if you, like, the market price is different than the retail price, fact. But the retail price doesn't apply unless you've spent 200 grand with your jewelers. So do you want to spend 200 grand first or do you want to buy your watch? What are we going to do?
Especially when you have absolutely no fucking interest. As you said, I'm like a, most men, the only jewelry they wear.
Yeah.
Is the, so you're buying something for your fucking wife or girlfriend or some, just to fucking get the watch you want.
But the fact that you, as if you can afford a Rolex, you've some money, right?
Yeah.
The fact that these guys that have a bit of money are usually also have a set of brains, that these guys with the set of brains actually accept that shit from people. Are you actually telling me seriously I need to buy 50 grand of jewelry here to spend my then extra hard-earned money? So I need to spend 50 grand to buy 50 grand of my hard-earned money.
Is this all, is this like exclusively like Rolex nearly? Or is
no,
this
it's Patek Philippe as well, Patek, and Audemars Piguet, Richard Mille, all this
like, yeah, because I was thinking like if you went in to buy a fucking, you know, like a Speedmaster, they're not going to give you all that shit, are they?
No. The thing is, that's what's wrong with the industry, right? The question is, how do you solve it? Because you can shout at it. Rolex should run their shops, Richard Mille does. They're just their own boutiques, AP, their own boutiques.
Yeah.
Rolex is being run by jewelers. Jewelers taking the piss. Rolex should stop doing that in every way possible. They should manage their own, get their own shops, manage their own shops so it's fair and square. That's the only way to do that. Not by these bollocks, jammy, fancy in the front door jewelers and then being absolute shambles on the back end. Yes, I'm coming for you.
God damn. Oh. Yeah, we've got two more questions. Let's get through them.
Am I talking too much or
no? Not at all. Oh. No, not at all. Have you listened to this podcast? It's fucking
sometimes 2 hours. Right?
With the new Tudor Black Bay 58 Bronze having the T fit clasp, well, this guy's getting into it. What are the chances you reckon that they will allow us to buy these adjustable clasps for our standard Black Bays? So sneaky to include in a boutique only watch.
Have you seen that watch? No. Have a look. The new boutique only, it's absolutely bonkers. I love that watch. I was like, this is just porn.
What am I looking for?
This is like you watch, you porn. You watch porn.
What am I writing? Boutique only fucking what?
Just do Tudor. Go to the Tudor website.
Tudor. Is this the one that people were giving shit because the thing was like so soft or something? What's it made of?
It's bronze.
Yeah.
So,
is it soft?
No, it's metal. Like,
I don't know. I skimmed past this fucking thing. There we go. If fucking cappuccino was a watch, it's like fucking.
If cappuccino was a watch,
just brown.
nothing against brown watches. Like,
there we are.
I think it's absolutely gorgeous, mate.
It is nice.
Mate, I've seen a photo on the Tudor Instagram. I was like, whoa, this is sexy as fuck, boy.
Nice.
Yeah, this watch will go for a significant premium, and this will stay as a significant premium. This is a watch you can only buy in the Tudor boutiques only, so dedicated Tudor boutiques, which are not run by Tudor, by the way, which are run by jewelers.
Oh, for fuck's sake, here we go. We're starting again.
It's another waiting list. This is just, Tudor's just introducing another waiting list for a different watch.
Okay.
Sneaky. Like, not obtainable at retail, 100%.
Sneaky buggers.
Aye. Which is, like, I love Tudor. Like, I think it's genius. Like.
So what the fuck was he talking about? A clasp or something?
I have no idea what he was talking about.
Yeah, fuck it then.
Tell him to drink a little bit less.
Drink, hey.
Can you reply to him? Can I reply to him? Just, like, type in. What are you talking about?
Shut up. Chances you reckon they'll allow us to buy these adjustable clasps for our standard black base? I don't know what that means.
I know what a standard black base is like.
Yeah.
And I know what a clasp is, but I do not know the context of this question.
I don't know. It would a clasp not... Well, fuck, I don't know. Right, we've got a couple more questions. And we'll leave the big one to the end. What is the cheapest watch you would buy slash own?
Fucking class, that one. That one.
What do they run for? 15 like, quid?
Retail's $19.90 at Casio website. And we like, funny enough, I think we sold the world record. We done a world. If the Guinness book is Guinness Book of Records, the proper Guinness, yeah. Like, is that Guinness drink? Like,
I think so.
Is it?
Yeah.
The Guinness World Book Record thing, unit. well, if this was a thing, I would have. We would have, as Pride and Pinion, sold the most F91 God tier watches in an hour, ever.
Jeez.
We sold about 1,000 of those.
Jesus Christ.
In one go, like, it was bonkers.
And when people receive this from you, is there any...
Yeah, I hand a letter, like, oh, it's yeah, like, okay. There's a letter and I sign it and it's nice. Like, it's, I want that personal because they you could buy that watch cheaper, yeah. Like, on Amazon.
You got the premium
people
on
it? People want to...
1,500 quid.
No, like, these people want to support us as well as a business, yeah. You see what I mean? And I need to put time in that because that I appreciate that. That means the world to me.
Yeah.
So at least I need to do something extra.
Very cool. Very cool. I think my wife has a pink one of those. Is that possible?
No, that's you.
Yeah. But yeah, I'd wear blame a pink her, watch. Like. I don't give a fuck. Have you seen the state of my shoes?
No, let me see. What is it? All right, no comment.
Yeah. We'll move on. Final question. Why is... Am I saying this right? Hublot? What is it?
Why do we even need to have this conversation?
Why is it the worst brand ever? What is it that makes Hublot such pieces of shit? And that'll be our last question.
I wrote a
book on
Hublot. The watch for people with more money than sins.
Okay.
Right?
Trilogy,
part one. Right.
Excuse me.
I'm building you this watch, right? And this is, it's very clear. I'm building you this watch, right? Put this movement in. Oh, shit. Oh, I'm building you this watch. Right. I don't want to make that movement myself because it costs me too much time. I'll call ETA. Hey, ETA. Hello. Hello. This is really weird what I'm doing at the moment, but you get the point.
We'll animate it.
Yeah. So, hey, ETA, can I have a movement? Yes. That's then $150. Oh, yeah. No worries. Get them put in the watch. Done. $15,000. Right? But now as a Hamilton... Does the same. Listen, mate, I want to buy a really sell a really affordable watch. Can I have a movement? Exactly that identical movement. And Hamilton gets this movement, puts in their watch, sells it. 800 quid.
Mm-hmm.
That's why.
Yeah.
They're the scumbags of this industry.
Yeah. What's the fur coat, no knickers?
It's like being fucked without a condom. I swear. With 10 SO, how do you call them? STDs. That one. 10. Like, fuck. It's like you could have kissed me first. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
That type of thing. It's bonkers, mate.
I also feel like, you know, if you had a slight knowledge of watches, you could name a couple of models from each thing. You know, oh, there's a Rolex this, whatever, Tudor, whatever. The Hublot watches, I'm like, well, I don't even know any sort of, do they have like a standard sort of well-known model?
They have this limited edition structure where everything is limited edition. But then it's limited edition to like fucking 5,000 pieces. That's not fucking limited, mate. What are you talking about?
Like, oh, fuck shit. Limited edition.
Fucking 1 million pieces only.
30,000 watches.
Yeah, get the fuck. Climb a tree. Leave me alone. Right? It's bonkers. Like, for me, the fact that Hamilton sells exactly a watch with exactly the identical movement as Hublot. One at 800, one at $15,000. It's just bonkers. It's how to do... this, right? But they're not willing to do that.
Yeah.
People don't know. Go into Hublot, think they buy a quality watch, and allegedly they're not quality.
I think it's, again, the only place I heard it was on like a load of rap songs.
Yeah.
And I think people, if they have any demand, it's because fucking rappers wear them. And you want to be cool.
And it has a rubber strap. I mean, you can... What else is made out of rubber? You can buy for a fucking a pack of 20. I mean, at least the Hamilton comes on a bracelet. Like, you see what I mean? It's a bit more
pack
rugged.
Of 20? What sort of weekend are you having? Jesus.
I don't do.
So you're not into the rubber straps at all?
Oh, fuck. Nah.
I'm sure they have a time and a place.
No, it's fine. Like I mean, I just want to speak the truth. Right? And there's so many dark sides of this industry, and I just, the only thing I just do, and it became a meme on its own, right?
Yeah.
And I love it above anything else. I'm just fucking surprised that they haven't sent me a letter yet.
I was going to say, have you not heard anything from
a cease and desist or whatever you call that? And I was like, they haven't said, I'm just surprised. But like, they still advertise on our channel, so I'm just like, why the fuck are you still
really?
Doing?
Yeah, got a mid-roll Hublot.
Yeah, I swear, it's the weirdest thing ever. So they kind of have this no publicity for good. Any publicity is good publicity, right? But no, I think it's shambles in every way possible. And then I don't know how it is even possible, but their only in-house movement, or one of their only in-house, fully in-house created movement that they made themselves instead of calling ETA, is called U/Nico.
Are you shitting?
I'm not shitting me. I swear. And I was like, this is bonkers, mate. Right? This is fucking bonkers. Look it up, Hublot. I swear. It's the weirdest thing ever. And I was like, this is a joke, mate. It's a joke.
You think they'd send you one for the crack? Like, yeah, there's someone chatting about the, yeah, what is unique about the Unico movement?
Oh, but like, I mean, I'm just like, you have the, I can't even describe it. Every time we're talking about Hublot, I can't even string one sentence together. Like, it's just, usually I just fart at shit.
Post PTSD talking about
I've issues. I just get I hate it with a passion. I pride myself to have never sold a Hublot in my life. Will I fuck ever sell one? you give me a fucking million quid, won't happen.
Well, I think we have to end it there, folks. What a great place to stop. We've chatted for an hour and a half.
Did we?
Yeah. Cheers for coming on, man.
No worries.
If you need a luxury watch in Belfast, hit up Pride and Pinion. And just one special thanks to our sponsors this week, Hublot.
Fuck off.
Thank you. Right?
No, I appreciate that, mate. It was cool to meet you as well. Like,
worries. We'll fist bump it.
Books. You! My arms are. Do I have anything else?
Nice.
Are you giving away these watches to the.
I could think of something to do, yeah.
Patreon people?
Yeah.
Stuff. I also have cloths.
Oh, I could think of something.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks very much, man.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.